Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gentlemen, Mr. Lee Trundle this week.
Both looking very similar tonight. You
yeah, we're looking well.
Yeah.
Got to say that.
Minus the cutter.
I don't think...
We're both looking good.
Yeah.
We're very blue, all of us.
We are, aren't we?
Brings out the best in us.
Give me some Lee Trundle clubs.
Wrexham.
Swansea.
Leeds.
Preston.
Bristol City.
Rill.
Neath. And so on and so on.
Yeah, there's
Abergany. You play for them?
He must have done.
He must have done.
Prime. Sir Graham fodder.
Yeah.
Showboating. I mean, he'll get into talking about it.
He was good. He was fucking class at it and all, wasn't he?
I remember on the neck.
Yeah. I'm looking forward. And thanks everybody who signed up to the Patreon recently. Well, we got a few comments saying they were joining and enjoying some of the episodes. Didn't realise some of the guests that we'd had
he
on
there. He's always on there.
He is.
Carlton
Palmer.
It's the screen share. I don't watch any telly. I just put a podcast on the telly on a night.
Off you go.
120 episodes. Which camera I'm looking at.
Yeah, it don't matter, does it?
Thank
but
you
no,
much
thanks to everybody who signed up recently because it really helps just doing these ones as well.
Yeah.
The regular ones.
So, yeah.
Massive. Thank you for supporting us.
Can remember the Socceretts? They were even better than Trundle.
Them days are over, John.
Yeah, I know.
Can't say that now, John.
I can remember the Socceretts. I fucking said that.
Should we get Lee in?
Let's get Lee in.
Or you say something stupid.
What a good age.
Oh. Just before Lee Trundle does come in, Matty's just pulled us up. We've got some footnotes for this episode because we talk about Brian Flynn.
Flynny.
That was my fault, that. I led with Flynny.
Yeah, and then I'm hoping most people have seen it, the Graham Wesley elephant. And for some reason, all of us don't mention Graham's name. We just all assume we know what we're talking about.
Sorry, Mr. Wesley.
So that leads into those.
Flynny, Brian Flynn. Elephant Man, Graham Wesley.
We had Flynny on the other week.
Yeah, I was saying.
He was singing your praises. He said he got a reference before he signed you. Did you see it?
I never seen it, but I know I know
from Mark Wright.
Yeah, yeah.
His words were, "You're a fat, horrible bastard." That's a reference in our play, isn't it?
Do you know on that though? Do you know coming from where he was at the time? He just left Liverpool. I was in non-league and back then, like, I wasn't bothered about... Well, I wanted to be a footballer, but I was doing everything against being a professional footballer.
Just been a normal fella.
Yeah, so I'd go out with my mates. Even, I'd go out on a Friday night after the club had finished. We'd go back to a house party. I'd go there, stay there till 8, 9 in the morning, go get me bag, go to football, go and play, come back after the game, put me back behind the bar in our pub and go
again.
So that's what I'd done as a young lad. So I can understand Mark Wright saying that because he gets me in the room because obviously ability-wise, I'm still doing stuff on the pitch and doing okay. So he gets me in the office and he says, listen, do you want to be a professional footballer? I said, yeah. And he said, okay, well, listen, you've got to get yourself fit. You need to start doing your own work through the week. So I went to Adam in the room. Then he's got me on the scales. So I was 14 stone. He said, listen, you need to drop a bit now to get yourself right. So I said, yeah, okay. Went away. I think it was about a month later. So he brings me back in, gets me on the scales, and I was 14.8. So him coming from Liverpool and that, and he's had to talk to me thinking, oh, I'm going to turn this kid's head around. And then I come back and I'm £8 in a month over. I can understand why he wanted to say that.
What were his reaction? Was he trying to drum it into you more or like,
no,
what the
so
fuck are you doing?
He tried
or?
To do it in front of the lads then in right. As we were in a circle.
Group shame.
Yeah, so then I've went at him then. So then me and him have been saying stuff to each other. Then he was on the phone to me. Because I was saying, well, I'll leave then. I don't want to play for you. I'll leave. So then it ended up me and him saying that we were going to go and meet each other halfway because we were like arguing to fight. I would have brought my uncle with me, like he would have filled me in there.
So you were arranging to have a fight with the manager?
Well, that's what the way it was on the phone between the two of us. Because you know, from when I look back now, when I'm older, what was I then? Like 22. When I look back when you've been in professional football and all that, it's like what he's saying was right. But in my head at that time, I couldn't get my head around. I've never been in professional football. I was never at a club when I was younger. I was never a YTS anyway. So I went into men's football at 15 and then played non-league. Yeah. So for me, it was just, I was still playing on a Sunday under a different name, even right the way through. I played even when I signed for Wrexham. I remember going in, signed for Wrexham, made my debut on a Saturday and then played for the lads on the Sunday morning with my local team.
What name did you go for?
Lee Preston, just changed my second name.
just to avoid confusion.
Well, everyone's shouting Lee on the pitch, so I thought I'd keep the first one. But like in the league that we were playing in as well, if you can imagine on a Sunday league, I was scoring like 10s and 12s each game. So people are then talking, oh, who is it? And I remember I went into training on the Monday morning and Joey Jones, Wrexham legend, Liverpool legend, said to me, you played on yesterday? I said, I never played. And he said, yeah, you did. He said, listen, I won't say it again. Don't play. He said, this is your career now. If something happens to you on a Sunday, that's your career gone. He said, so stop playing. And that was me last game on a Sunday, that was. I didn't play after that again.
What was your mentality at? Because you got you got Mark Wright telling you.
Yeah, but I wasn't even thinking about it like that. I didn't think of him as always Mark Wright, who's played for England and Liverpool. My attitude back then was like, who are you talking to? That's how I would. Which is wrong.
It's a mad mentality to have at that age, wanting to be a professional.
Do you know
footballer,
the thing? I think it all comes. It's a part of where you come from as well. Like my area in Liverpool is like a rough area, and it's where you're brought up, and I think that's your makeup as you grow older. Yeah. And I think it's if someone attacks you, you attack back. I think that's a mentality. Yeah. what you're brought up with in them areas, where he's trying to help me, but I'm not seeing it that way. I'm seeing him calling me out in front of a group. Yeah. Or I'm seeing him bringing me in a room and saying you're wrong, and then mine was just to go back at him, where in hindsight when you look back, of course he was right.
Were you at a club when you were younger? You know,
never had
no team.
So never had it. Do you know, back when I was younger, like I always had the like ability where I'd be the skills and taking people on. I'd say back then, like decision making, I'd either score a goal or lose the ball. Like I just wouldn't pass it. You know, when I was
people
young,
were going, pass it here, pass it, you fucker. Yeah. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, so like that was my mentality on. So I'd always had that ability, but it was probably the decision making and things like that. So I was never at it. Never had a club like where it was YTS when I was growing up. So my first taste of it was when I went to Wrexham. All the other bits was in non-league.
So to categorically confirm, Mark Wright were right, weren't he?
Yeah, he was right.
You were a fat horrible bastard.
I was a big boned, I'd say.
I remember Flinny saying, did you say you wanted to do something before? It was a trick, wasn't it? I think you pulled him before the game and said, can I catch the ball on my neck? And Flinny was like, what? No, of course you can't. Anyway, you did.
Yeah.
You somehow found space and time.
So it was more like, with my personality and the way I was with Flinny, like me and him would have a joke. And like, I think that helped in the way I played as well, where I'd just like say stuff as banter to him. And, you know, he would say, but I did say that to him in one of the games. And then he said no. But then obviously in the game, the ball's just come and I done it in that instance. But I think the way I played, I think because I was never at a club when I was younger, I just played like I was in the youth club with my mates, or I was on the field. That's the way I enjoyed playing football. And like now where it's all possession and you're scared to lose the ball, I would have hated playing like that. And I know it sounds like I played years and years ago. I haven't played that long ago, but mine was more like I always enjoyed, or managers got the best out of me when he said, just go out and express yourself and do that. And I know the higher you go, you've got to have jobs and you can't do it like that. But the managers who who I played the best under was just go out and play with that freedom.
I think that's because of that upbringing. Like you said, you've never played with any authority. And then you're at a professional club, but you realise that you need to play as a bit of a free spirit, if you will. And loose from
and
being
I think
told
that,
what to do.
That's why he would have got the best out of me as well, because he didn't... Like, if I had to go back and mark someone on a corner, I think, you know, I'd be more... I'd grab someone down, score an own goal. Like, I hated being anywhere like that, or like a job to mark someone. I would always like to be just stay up the top when the ball comes out, do that. And I think Flinney and, like, Kenny Jackie, them type of managers you had, even Roberto Martinez as well, with the type where they sort of would just let me do that. Take it away where, okay, he's not going to work that hard in the other defensive side, but if we get it up top to him, he could win a game. And I think that's how they got the best out of me.
Remember Flinney saying different. Something about your Newton Heath?
Which, sorry?
Remember going on about your teeth? He told us a story about...
Oh, before he said that in his book as well. He can talk as well, the Nash is on him, can't he?
Yeah, he was going on about...
Because I got me teeth done, yeah. But I heard there's boot going on about that, but that's pot kettle, isn't it?
So what were you when you signed at Wrexham?
I was at Real. So I played in like all of the... I started off at 15 in my local men's team, St Dominic's, that was called. Then I went into non-league. Like, and at that time, it was me ex-partner had just got pregnant. So it was like... daughter was going to be born then, and from when I found out then, I started like going into the gym, started doing me running in the week, and like within 2 months of that, I'd turned professional then for Wrexham.
Who was it that said your best attribute was your ass, your big ass to get it
Flinney.
In? And Flinney, was it?
Yeah,
but Flinney again. What's that come, Flinney, innit?
You wonder why he signed me all these. What's going on? But same again, that's what I would like to do. I'd like to sit in to defend if the ball's coming in. I'd sort of, if you're tight to me, I'd use you and sort of sit into you a little bit and lean on you to use you to put you off balance for me to turn to get me shots off. But same, I think that goes with not having any like pace. I think you've got to then play in a certain way to then use your body to help you.
So Flinney's then gone to Swansea, and he told us the story, didn't he, that if Wrexham signed you again, they'd have had to give Real 15 grand or something like that.
Yeah,
it was something.
If it was another contract, yeah.
Yeah, so then yeah. Flinney's obviously swooped and...
No, so what it was as well, I was at Wrexham, I'd come from non-league, so I was only on like 500, not only on 500 quid, but in football terms, yeah. £500 a week, but that was in League One. So... they offered me 800 a week. And I think for what I'd done, and I'd went back in about 4 times for a new contract at Wrexham all over that time, because I can understand them offering me that at the start.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I might have went into League One and might have never played a game for them. But, you know, I went in, I scored 7 in my first 4 games in League One for them. Went in then, they said no to a contract. At the time, the club was having the money troubles as well. And then they offered me 800 to stay, and then I just thought, for what I've done, you know, and Flinney was the manager at Wrexham, who I enjoyed playing under. Dennis Smith was good, but I always felt that I wasn't his type of player. Do you know what I mean? And then that season, they let myself and Andy Morell go on a free transfer where we got promoted, and between the two of us, I think we got about 75 goals, and they let that go to go into the league because me and Andy left on a free.
Swansea in League Two when you went?
Swansea were in League Two.
So we scored just... all them goals in League One and then for 7 games?
No, so for 7 games, for the first season we played in League One, I think I finished with about 12, but I didn't sign until February.
Right.
Then the next season, I think Flinney went at the start of the season, Dennis Smith come in, we got relegated to League Two. So then me and Andy had that partnership in League Two, got promoted. And then Swansea was still in League Two. So we went back to League One with Wrexham and then I dropped down.
Yeah,
to,
that's what I meant.
Like I dropped, yeah, yeah.
Early, and then you dropped back down with the no other clubs.
Yeah,
doing
so I
well
went to
that early days so, in League One.
So after leaving Wrexham, I went to, there was Porthvale, went to speak to them. Didn't end up going, went to Tranmere, but then they were only going to offer, said, a year contract. And then Swansea come in. And then when it was with Flinney with Swansea, then that was
me. Yeah, he was a big pull.
Well, because I knew how he'd let me go out and express myself. He'd let me go and play with that freedom. Yeah.
We had loads of messages from Port Vale fans, didn't we, saying what happened?
Do you know what? I went to Port Vale. I went. I think it was Brian Orton at the time. I think we went, me and my agent went there, walked around the ground, had a chat with him and everything. We spoke. Because did someone mention about if they went into administration? But I don't think it was then. I don't think it was around then. But the, we,
big
I went,
pitch and all, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah, Paul? I know. Yeah. I went down to the ground and that, but then, you know, I ended up signing for Wrexham. But I was speaking to them, though. I did speak to that poor fail.
In your early Wrexham days, did you change your lifestyle?
Yeah.
Anyone?
I think when I went into professional football, I changed me, like, not massively, if I'm being honest, but I just...
not the Fridays on it. I just didn't go to the after party on a Friday. Yeah.
So, but then you're training every day, aren't you? So
yeah,
you're
can't more, get away with it
and
as
I was,
much.
Like, yeah, 24 when I went in, so my body's getting used to this training every day now. So I felt as though I was fitter, stronger. I still go out on, like, a Saturday and Sunday. I'd do that every weekend. I'd do that, but then... Oh, saying that, I'd do a Wednesday as well in St. Helens. So we had a day off on a Thursday. So I'd still enjoy my night out. But I think once you're training every single day like that, you're fitter anyway.
Can you remember the first time you were on Soccer AM?
Yeah, that was through when I was at Swansea, that was. So even like things like that, when you're coming into football at 24, you know, because I've been a football fan, you still am a football fan, but then when you see... like these shows and all that. So I used to love when I was growing up, I wanted like to see me goals with the music behind it, you know, where you'd watch Match of the Day and stuff like that, or you'd watch Fantasy Football, Football Focus, you'd watch that. So that's in my head, that was something that I would have loved to see. So it was nice to like go on these shows asking you to come on and go on on them type of shows.
You kept them going for about 10 years, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was
Showboat
was one, yeah. Because what happened, like people, there's different stories mixed up about it saying I used to tell them when I was, like I'd tell them when
didn't
I was...
Didn't he put it in his book, Lovejoy, saying you used
yeah,
to
but what up. It was, so you had him...
So you put it for
Saturday at 6 o'clock. Yeah. Just let you know, yeah. Tim, yeah. I've done something special.
27 minutes, Tim.
Yeah, but Preston, I don't know if you've seen Trundle's goal the weekend.
Yeah, so on that, you'd see like him... Because back then, it was, you know, Fenner's, he'd done it. So he was like a producer and one of the writers on it then. So he said, like, I'd been on and we'd always still text and he'd say, Lee, if you do something in games, try and, like, remember what minutes around. Because he said, I've got to sit here and fast forward and go through a full 90 minutes of a game.
Yeah.
He said, so if you could do that, he said, it'll help me out a lot. I don't have to sit there. Even if it's around, if you say it's around 20 minutes, at least I can go to that.
Yeah.
So then, like, I wouldn't go out and try and do things to do because that's
fuck
just
off.
No, fuck off. On. But listen, I would
looking
go out
up
and
clock.
No, but what I'd say, I'd go out and do that anyway. However, I was going to play, I would do that. But you know, when you say the clock, I did do that. I'd do a tick or whatever, and I'd just look up and like see what the clock was, and then I'd go back to it and carry on again. So I'd be on Fenner's. I'd text in Fenner's like 24th minute. 33rd, 45, and I'd give him the minutes around and do it that way. So, but to be fair, if you look at like the show like that, that was probably profile-wise for me. That raised my profile because before the Soccer AM, no one would have, like you would have probably had people from Wrexham and Swansea, which just would have been the Welsh area, which would have known. Out of that, no one would have really known me because I was non-league right the way through and, you know, it's not as though I was a name or anything. So it wasn't until Soccer AM where people, because everyone used to watch Soccer AM then, and it wasn't then until people had then, like, you know, ever seen him in different places would, like, speak to us or recognise me.
Because it was your own feature at one point, wasn't it? After
well,
a bit,
I think I think there was four of them showboats where they'd just done, and episodes he'd just done the showboat of me. So it was in, like, one of the games where they'd done that, like, four times, which is good because the way I play football as well, I love that side. If I'm watching, I want to see someone taking the piss. I want to see them nutmegging people, doing skills. That's what I love watching. So it was nice to see a little feature like that.
What was the DVDs? It was loads of people last to have
that
DVDs.
Was Fenner's again. So I was sitting on, I had a T-shirt on and it had I Love Dub was the, was on the T-shirt like a heart. But then when I was sitting down on the couch, he's made it that it looks like DVDs. So then he come out saying, I love DVDs on the show. And then that just stuck and everyone, that's one of the ones that I hate the most. That actually just does me head in. Like 20 years ago, give it a rest now. And now you get more of them saying it to me now.
Thanks for bringing that up. On a serious note, did you ever like have lads at Wrexham's who were like, fucking hell, just pass me the ball, like, have a pop at you?
I think I probably would have at times if I were playing up front with you.
Do you know, to be fair, when I got into like at Wrexham, I'd probably say I was the highest assister in the team as well. So although there would be times where I would go and take people on, and probably Fergie would be the one who'd probably be at me the most, Darren Ferguson. He'd be one who'd be on me. But then he would be one who would probably get me playing all the time as well. But it was in, if I went to, like, if I go back into non-league when I first come into men's football, that's when I would get it. Because if you think about non-league, you got a lot of ex-pros dropping down. You know, they're all older men, and I'm coming in at like 17, and that's when I wouldn't pass back then. Like, so I used just to get it pass. every single game. I'd get it then off them. They would murder me, and like the way you look at now, and like the way you say people, you can't talk to people like that in football. The stuff that would get said to me by the men in there, like, was, you can imagine it, yeah. Can't you, going back in like 95 in the dressing room like that with all ex-pros when I'm not passing the ball at all. It was like,
get that cunt off. Fucking get him off. Yeah, he's fucking killing us.
That's what they used to, because I'd be doing it on the halfway line and losing. They'd be chasing back towards their own goal. I'd be standing on the halfway line. Yeah, so I used to get it a lot then.
Was there ever a time, like first 10, where you thought, I just need to rein this in here? Or were you always thinking, I'm just going to fucking keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it?
I would always think like that. I'd never, ever think of... And do you know what? Even if someone come in and smash me...
I was going to say, you're putting yourself in the firing line.
I like that type of thing. And I know it sounds stupid, but I like the contact where if someone hits you, I enjoy that. I get a buzz off that, where it makes me lift my game a little bit more. I enjoy that side of it. So I would always... If someone done that, then I would then even go at them more and do more stuff to them. Because I just think if you're coming in to hurt me like that, you're scared of what I'm going to do. So then that's why I would do it more. So yeah. I'd never say, oh, I've done a bit too much here. I would think, have I done enough type of thing. I would just get away with whatever I could when I was out there, because I enjoyed that type of football.
Can you remember any examples of when you've properly taken the piss, where you've maybe megged somebody and then gone back on yourself to make them again?
Yeah, I've done
like
it. I think there was a game against... Kidderminster, it was at the Vetch. So I was doing it to this same lad a lot. I kept on doing it all the time. And then, do you remember Mickey Mellon?
Yeah.
So Mickey come in and give me a good whack, like. But then same again, I got the ball, got it up again, and then went again. So I enjoyed that. But there was times like that in games where, when I'd done the shoulder roll against Huddersfield.
Oh, I had the shoulder roll.
Done that a few times.
So two players got sent off that game for tackles on me. Like, because then it was towards the end of the game where, after I'd done that, do you know where you take it in the corner to, like,
get
where
the arse out.
Where you get the time out to run time down. I'd do that, and I was messing around in the corner with him, and I think he come at me and I megged him, and I could have went into the box, and I've turned back and come again to face him back up again. And then as I've just seen him come in, and he's just smashed me as I touched the ball, and then he got sent off, and then same again with another lad. I'd done it to him as well, and he got sent off.
You'd be furious.
Well, I think Peter Jackson on that game day manager was going on saying, it's disrespectful, you shouldn't do that. It's like, that's the way I enjoy playing football. Yeah. And I think if someone's going to come in and do them tackles on me, well, they've let the team down, not me. I'm just doing my own thing. You've had two men sent off, so...
Done your job.
That's the way I would look at it.
Did you know when Martinez got the job that he was going to be next level?
Yeah, I knew. We all knew even before that, when he was a player. Even when Kenny Jackett was there, he was like... and even when Fellini was there, he was a manager within the team. He'd even like at times where he'd be taking notes down at when we do the session. Like, you'd do a session, you know, you'd have a little break, and then he'd have a little pad, and he'd pop little notes.
We must have got some stick. Fucking you. Roberto, you busy bastard.
But, you know, he never got stick because we knew what he was. Do you know what I mean? So we even went to Magaluf. So Roberto never used to drink, but he'd always be, any lad's trip, any night out, he'd be on every single one of them. And when we were at Swansea, we used to have, we were out probably four times a week. He would come out with us, but he wouldn't drink. So we went to Magaluf on the end of the season tour. He found somehow, I don't know how, found a game and went to watch a game when they were out there. So he's saying, lads, I'm going to go to the game. And we've been down the beach all day. And he wanted to go for like meals in the night time and all that. So like, obviously, I remember we were walking past, and he said, oh, boys, like, we're coming home from the BCM tapas tonight, we go for a meal. And Taisy's went, no, Burger King sells Heineken.
I've always liked that too. Yeah.
We ended up going to get the Burger King and an Heineken, changed them back out, where then he'd go for a little meal on him on his own. But he was a great lad, but even from a football point of view, you knew that he was something different to everyone else. The way he'd like, because even if we'd go out for just something to eat, and the way he'd explain and how he'd want to play and stuff like that, he was miles ahead of anyone at that time. Yeah.
Do you think he's looked at you and thought, what the fuck am I playing with you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're out 3-4 times a week,
yeah,
and he don't drink.
4 times a week's quite heavy, isn't it?
What was it? Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday?
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. So it was student nights, Monday and Wednesday. So it's a big city for his students, Swansea. So we'd do them too. So I remember Kenny Jackett when he first took over the job. So he's brought us all in to meet us. So he's sitting in a meeting with me. He said, oh, I've heard you like a night out, don't you? I said, yeah, I don't mind one. He said, so when do you go out? And I said, well, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. And he said, don't you think that's a bit too much? And I went, not really. I used to go out on a Monday as well, but I knocked that on the head now. And he must have thought, what's going on? And I look back, that was Kenny's first job in professional football. He'd been a coach for all them years, but that was his first as a number one. And he come into a group of lads, which was, as I say, we were out. And because you've moved to Swansea, most of the lads are moving on their own. So you're getting like 14 of us out on these nights. It's not just like a drinking club of like 4 of us where we'll go. It's like 14 of us.
And that's in Swansea,
yeah.
Is it Wine Street? I mean?
Wine Street, yeah. This was before, like, you never had your Twitters or your social media. It was just, if you were out, it was word of mouth. Now you couldn't do it because there'd be pictures and everything.
Is it win, lose, or draw?
Yeah, just it didn't matter what.
No stick from the locals?
No. Do you know what? I think the fans sort of enjoyed it a little bit where they could come and have a pint with us. Like, you'd end up going, all right, John. Hello, Dave. You know, just people who you see in the little pubs all the time, and they come over.
What a pitch?
Yeah, or even in the crowd, you'd see them. Hello, John. Hello, Dave.
Like, see you later.
Yeah, you're round. You get them in. Yeah, but so there was we never got stick like that. And to be fair, in that time, they just managed to stay in the Football League by one game, and we've come this season with the signings, and then we were fighting at the top of the league. So it's like you get a bit of leeway anyway because you're doing all right in the league, but come Christmas, we blew up. Like it was too much.
Not fucking surprised.
It was too much for us.
If you
think of, like, you're looking on the Sunday as an all day, and even like then the Monday and Wednesday, you're meeting at, like, as soon as training finished. We never had a training facility where we'd eat together, so we go to the local restaurant and we just start then. So you'd have 2 all days in there, as well, 3 really. You'd have the Monday, the Wednesday, and the Sunday.
It's proper school, that.
So you're more like, if you think about it, you're recovering more than you're like, even the training. Like, I just go in with a big bottle of Lucozade every single day, and that'd be my energy to try and get me through it.
See, I don't know how you think about it now, but say if I go in the gym and I've been on the drink, I feel horrific. Oh. And I think, it's embarrassing to think that I used to be out Saturday, Sunday, and then have to almost prepare for the game on the Saturday, and I was a bag of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's,
I think, if you look, well, even now I look after myself more than obviously what I did when I play. I'll go and see like a nutritionist now. I got my bloods done where he does all my food intolerances and stuff, does me a food plan on stuff. So the things I do now, because I know if I was to do what I'd done then, I could never get away with still playing. Now I'm 47, so I've got to start to tailor it. So now I switch it the other way around where I'm more professional when I'm finished.
Wait, you're 5 years older than that?
Yeah.
You're gonna use that one tonight, and all that. Fucking moron.
But you can get away with it a bit more when you're younger, can't you? Your body gets away with it.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, just you've fucked that. You're out of breath, and I'm like,
I think when you're training every day like that, though, it's like your body sort of just gets it out of you, and you go, you flush it out, and you go again.
Different sweat, innit?
Yeah, it is.
It's a bit different.
And you know what? You think, but at that time, you probably just think, oh, that was an hard session, that one. But you try and do a session like that now, and there's no way you're getting through it, are you, now, the way we, at our age? You wouldn't get them sessions that you do. And back then, they'd they'd had the doggies in at the end, or they'd had the pitch yeah. runs, where now it's like, oh, you've done too much, get yourself in. We only had a game of five-a-side, but you've done too much now, where beforehand it was, right, finish with...
You'd reach your heart rate.
You'd hate it, wouldn't you? Mm. You'd have to do the box-to-box runs.
The thing is, you knew that you were going straight out, didn't yeah. you? You know what I mean? So you do it. 10, fuck it with the 12. You know what I mean? Because you're thinking, oh, that them last couple. Oh, I'm out. We're out.
What impact did he make, Kenny Jackett? Because obviously, after he come in, your team's flying, you're flying, promotion.
Do you know what? I was probably my fittest under Kenny. I was at my fittest, and that's where I scored. I think we were in League One. I think in the first 17 games, I scored 17 goals. So I started off really well and then got injured after that. But Kenny, I thought he was brilliant for the club. I think he did knock the nights out as well. We did stop doing it under Kenny. We'd still do like probably a Saturday and a Sunday. Yeah. But in the week, we'd stop that because we went out on a Sunday. So it was on an all-dayer. So we'd been in this bar the weekend before. And the girl was going over to the off licence and getting bottles of peach schnapps because we're doing the drinking games.
Yeah. Oh, so it's like Christmas Do Sunday, isn't it?
Every one of them is like that.
It's not just a Sunday, like 6, 8 pints, 12 pints watching the football. You're fucking snapping it.
Oh, no, we were doing so it's like you can't touch your face. You've got to call each other by the first name because we all have nicknames, don't we? Got to drink with your left hand. You can't point at anyone. So the snap, so I think we... Like, she'd been getting over, so she was just charging us 15 quid for the bottle. So we went back the next week, done the same again. I think we'd done about 3 bottles of the peach schnapps along with the drinks that we were having. And a fella behind the bar tried to say, charging us for the shot. And I said, well, you're not doing that, mate. I said, last week, the girl come in and she bought the bottles. We just give her for that. We're not paying it by the shot. So then I ended up on the phone to the owner of the bar. So I'm pissed in the bar as well, saying, listen, mate, this is out of order. You only charged us 15 quid the other week. So we get into training the Monday and there's a meeting. Kenny sets a meeting up, like about the drinking and going out on the Sunday. So then somehow he's kicking off on us. We can't be going out on a Sunday. And we've sort of turned it around saying, hang on, gaffer. They were charging us £15 last week. And now they're trying to charge us £75 for a bottle. It's not on. So then,
so then the meeting
going
down,
Kenny's going, if he puts the bottle there, he can charge what he wants. It's got none to do. So the meeting turned around to the price of drink.
How much you should be getting charged.
Rather than, you shouldn't be going out on a Sunday.
The peach snap scandal. Tell you what, chums. You're fucking bad, right? Get him on the phone.
And there was another one where I think, so after that, I think that was near the end of the season or whatever. And then at the start of the season, we're all sitting in a meeting. And he went, right, listen, like Yeovil were always at the top with us, like trying to, you know, that was the team we'd go against. He said, Yeovil have signed a petition that they're not going to drink all season. He said, right, put your hands up if yous are up for doing the same. Every single person was just
Martinez. Well,
no one person raised their hand. And like the things that Kenny had to put up with, like obviously Andy Robinson as well, brilliant player, brilliant character. He'd get into trouble all the time, and Kenny would have to be going and bailing him out in the police station and stuff like that. Like Kenny had it as his first job to come into it. Although we had good players there, like off the field, he would have to put up with a lot of stuff. Like
you just know that there was one or two in that meeting thinking, I want to raise my hand here, but I know for a fact I'm going to get slaughtered if I do. Yeah. So I'm just going to sit here.
You'd rather be in trouble with the manager than the rest of the lads. So everyone just kept their hands down. We called it our freshest year. So like that's what we called it, where we come in and we all met together for the first time and then that was it. But I do think that it helped us on the pitch at times where you're all together, but obviously the longer it went, it killed us a little bit.
He's played a blinder, Jackett, really. That's his first job. He could have easily just gone, right, lads, this needs to stop now.
Yeah.
And it would have lost you straight away, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Really?
I think when I look back, because I only listened to him on a podcast a month or so ago, and like I didn't realise, like when he's talking, it was his first job in management, and you know, he took a lot on, but for what he'd done for us was brilliant, getting us out, because that League Two, it's an hard league to get out of, isn't he? Got us out of that and then even went on to League One and done well with us. Got to the playoffs the next season, playoff final.
Did the new lads that he brought in buy into the freshers?
So you've got Gary Monk was one we brought in. So Monk was one of the main ones as well. Monk come in as captain. So off the field, he was a really good lad. He liked a night out as well. So Monk come in on that.
Was there a Frank the Tank?
talking about the freshers fraternity type thing. Was there a one who you thought we need to keep an eye on him?
Yeah, that was a bit later. I know Steve Watt. He come from Chelsea.
I remember him,
he was on loan and then we signed him centre half, and he was the main one for that. He was the Frank the Tank. He didn't know what was going to happen when he was about. But same again, another good lad. We had it was luckily where everyone who come in were good lads. You never had no one who was like trying to be big time or wouldn't do this, wouldn't do that. Everyone would be together all the time. I think that helped us.
What were Rory Fallon like when he came in?
See, Rory was another loose cannon as well. So we
Cyril Sneercock.
Yeah.
Cyril Sneercock. His cock's like Cyril Sneer's nose. He like bends forward and then hooks over.
The hook.
Yeah. It's not a bad piece of kit, by the way, but Cyril Sneer, we have to call him.
Cling onto a cliff with his own hands.
Hang himself up in the wardrobe. Yeah, he had, like the players that Kenny was signing as well were all ones that loved the night out.
I can just imagine you, like, as soon as a new lad comes in, they're like, we've got another one of your lads. Another one in the list. We need to work him out here.
Yeah.
You do, because you do though, don't you? Like, I wonder what he's like. I wonder if he fancies it.
Well, even I remember we signed Rangel Angel. So I couldn't, and another lad, Bussy, couldn't speak English. But then me and Robbo, yes, come wine streets with us, yeah, in the afternoon. Got the two of them, so they couldn't understand what we're saying either, and especially me and Robbo talking Scouse, you're never going to know English either, but the two of them, we'd get them in, and we tended to do that with everyone. We tried to get them all in, but it was good. Everyone that come in bought into it.
They
on
buy
that
into
side.
It,
yeah.
Soon as the schnapps come out.
Yeah. Over the years at Barnsley, I've seen so many foreigners come in sober.
Yeah.
And leave the careers.
Leave bordering on alcoholics. Honestly.
You don't know what they're missing out on, do you, till they have it?
Because that one is universal, isn't it?
You
don't have to speak
one.
Spanish.
Yeah. That's the one.
So do you know, like, obviously, Angel Rangel, your Leon Britton and them types, did you know that they'd be able to go on and kick on and end up where they ended up?
Yeah, do you know what? It's like, if you look at them from the League Two, you had Gary Monk, Leon Britton, Alan Tate. Tate, he was always steady. You always got a job out of him. But then if you would have looked at them in League Two to think Premier League, you probably would have thought it was miles away. Even if you look at Leon, you know, Leon, the size of him and stuff like that, you probably would have looked at is the Premier League's a bit too much because they're looking for power, pace. But you see them in the Premier League, especially Leon Britton. For me, one of the best players that we've ever had at Swansea. Just unbelievable. He's one of them players who helps everyone on the pitch. So he'll go and get it off the keeper. He'll help his defence. He'll help his midfielders. He'll be with the forwards. So for him, I think Leon was one of them. The better players he played with, the better he got.
Yeah.
Because of his attributes and his job and how clever he was. When he played with them better players, he became better himself.
You think a Tatey has a head it and kick it, don't you? But he was like a young Dennis Irwin in the Flipman Premier League, playing left back.
Yeah,
fucking
he was.
Steve Irwin. Well, you know, he was like... Yeah.
And the same again, if you look at, because then Tatey's body shape, he's upright, isn't he? He's so straight. Not really quick. But then, as you say, in the Premier League, come into it. Well, he was our first captain going in against Man City. And we held our own for a little bit. Then he brought Aguero on and he just tore us apart. But through the Premier League, Tatey, you know, he was brilliant for us.
Somebody asked what happened with Kenny Jacket, Leon Knight, Nathan Dyer and Martin Morgan.
Yeah, do you know on that one? There was the Kenny Jacket and Leon Knight one with Knighty. And I always got on well with Knighty. I thought he was a great player for us. Me and him never played enough together, which I think would have been a good partnership. We come into training one day and club had said that Knighty had gone. It's like, well, how can you just sack him? There was all different, like, people just going around. But as a team, we never heard what happened with that. And I think when you're in a small place like this, the rumours that go about, you know, and then there was one, the Martin Morgan and the Nathan one, was Nathan wasn't playing because Martin had been with Nathan's wife. And it's like, these people had never met each other in their lives. Do you know what I mean? And it's like...
Oh, tell us it's true, Trunks.
No, honestly, they've never even met each other. But then in a sort of small place like that, someone's not playing, or there's got to be something made up, or Nathan's going out on loan, has got to be made up. And these are the stupid rumours that was going around. But with that one, but the Knighty one, we went in and we didn't know anything.
Just disappeared.
What had happened. Yeah.
They're always dodgy ones for us then when they're coming on Twitter, aren't they? That's what happened with
is it all the summer the spicy summer involved.
Yeah, yeah, he's tagging his wife. He wants a clear.
What was Nighty like in that dressing room?
Yeah, he was a good character as well. Nighty was one of them where he was fiery, do you know what I mean? But I think that's what he brought into the game as well. And he was someone who was outspoken. But as a player and as a teammate, I got on with him. I rated him as for what he'd done. And as I said then, I think me and him would have worked well together because he wanted to go in behind all the time. Yeah. But Kenny never played. It was either Rory and Nighty or me and Bayo. He didn't really mix the he didn't mix them up. But as a player and a lad in the dressing room, he was brilliant.
When was it that you turned down the move to Chef Wed?
We were in League One near the top. I think it was that season when we got to the playoffs. I think Chef Wed was at the near the bottom fighting relegation. And even though Chef Wed is a big club, if I could have went into playing that league, I would have wanted to do it with Swansea. And I thought, we're at the top, pushing for automatic at that time and definitely playoffs. I didn't want to then go there,
go up and
Swansea get promoted, they got relegated. And it's like, so where I was at the time, I just wanted to stay with Swansea and try and get them promoted. And so that's why I said I'd turned it down.
Was that when you got the image rights?
Yeah, so it was off the back of that.
So how did it work, that?
So what happened, I think at the time, where my agent, I think like 85% of the stuff sold in the club shop was like stuff with my name on and things like that. So they were earning a fair bit. So then, because I'd turned the move down to Sheffield Wednesday, my agent said, well, you know, can we work together and do something? And the chairman said, yeah, okay, we'll do that. So what they done, they paid me, instead of doing like a percentage where I'd have to go in and check what's being sold, we just come up with like a fee. And then they used that as the image rights, and then like they brought out like a clothing range and different things like that. But it was like the first one that had been done outside the Premiership. So
good work from your agent, that.
Yeah, it was good. And you know what? I think the club sort of then realised, because I didn't ask to speak to them. They said, they come to me and said, oh, Sheffield Wednesday have come in. And I said to the chairman, I said, I don't want to go. I said, I'd rather stay here. So I think on that point of view as well, it was like they sort of give me a thing for staying loyal with them. And then it was more of that.
Did you try and get them new products and stuff as well, like bubble baths?
Yeah, there was
scented candles. Do you know the trundle bundle?
The trundle dildo.
Do you know what? You're not far off. They sold girls' thongs with me face on the front.
The best seller.
I said, I bet you they were wearing them inside out as well.
Imagine like one of the lads on a Monday morning is like nicked on a Saturday night. He just took her jeans off.
Your face was fucking banging.
I was big spiky blonde mullet looking at him.
I'm fucking staring right at you.
Could you get the T-shirt from the Football League Trophy final?
Yeah, do you know
as
what
part
that
of
one...
your range?
Yeah, do you know people on that T-shirt? Like they would say, did I have it under my top or how it went on? It was we were walking around. It was at the end of the game, so like you know people throw scarves and stuff on. But I like afterwards when I'm thinking about it, the Millennium Stadium is big. The seats are far away from the pitch to throw like flags and T-shirts on. I honestly think that like someone from the press had thrown them on the side because I think for a flag, it's hard to throw a flag and get it onto the pitch from there. So they were just laying about. I seen the T-shirt on the floor, went and picked the T-shirt up, put me arms out like that, looked on it, could see what it was, and then took the T-shirt off. So I probably had the T-shirt on for about... probably no longer than 10 seconds. Took it off, throw it, and then...
So you put it on without looking at it?
Well, I picked it up off the floor, so put it straight on like that, because I ended up getting arrested for it as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
So anyone who's not seen it,
it was at... it's like what you see on the back of car bumpers. It was like a Swansea man, and he was pissing on a Cardiff shirt. So the shirt's on the floor, little Swansea man pissing on the... on the shirt.
He had Trundle Ted on the back, didn't he?
Image right.
Always thinking. The man
available now in the club shop.
The man had got a big blonde mullet.
Yeah, so put that on, went like that, and then took it off. And then Tatey had the flag. So Tatey's walking around with the flag, but the flag had fuck off Cardiff on, wrote on the Welsh flag. Roberto stitched me up here as well. It must have been all them nights out that I've took him on. Tatey had the flag, so Tatey's went to pass it to Roberto, so I've come from behind. Roberto went, "Truns!" So then, like, I've held the flag like that. So me and Tatey, same again, probably about 5 seconds. And then it's had fuck off Cardiff on, and then I've let the flag go. So then, after the game, we were in Morgan's hotel. So being in there, and then like Tatey come up to me and said, "Oh, police want to speak to us." And I went, "What for?" And then told for after the game. And I went, "What do you mean?" Because what it was only our fans was in the ground. We played Carlisle, so it was nothing to do with Cardiff. Played Carlisle, their fans are gone. It was our fans in that side of the ground where we were walking around. So then...
Are you in the hotel straight after...
No,
the
so
game,
we so come back to we come back to Swansea. We
celebration
had an after celebration party at Morgan's.
So you've had a few drinks and then police.
No, so then we had to go in. They said we need to go to the police station. So right. They arranged it to go in. Like, I think we went on a Tuesday or something.
Right.
So then they said we had to go in, carried on with the celebrations. So then I ended up staying out that night and I was on my way back to mine because I lived down the other end. So I thought I'll drop in the garage. And like I'd scored my best goal in the final. We won 2-1, got man of the match, set the other one up something and get the papers, have a little read, let's see. So I went into the garage, picked the paper up and it had me with the flag and Tatey cut off the end. So it only had me on it. And it said, "Ban this idiot," like from the Wales on Sunday, which is a Cardiff paper. I banned this idiot. And then inside, it was not much about the game. It was all about the flag and the T-shirt. They were trying to get me on that. So then went to the police station, sat down with them. To be fair, the policeman was saying, "So you picked the T-shirt up and you didn't know what was on it?" And I said, "Yeah, I've just picked it up." And you held the flag and you couldn't see what was on that. And no, I didn't see what was on the flag. So then he said, "Yeah, okay." So then we ended up getting the Welsh FA get involved then. So you've got to go up to the Welsh FA and sit in a proper, like a little courtroom. So it was me, Kenny Jackett and Tatey in the courtroom. So they do it like that, where their panel's sitting there. So I think we got a one-game ban for the next season. We got a week's wages took off us, and we got a 4-year ASBO as well.
Fucking hell.
ASBO.
So at least I fitted in with the lads when I went back to Liverpool anyway. So.
Not allowed in Swansea between the 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock Saturday afternoons.
With the... much backlash with the fans, because obviously the,
yeah,
the
loads
rivalry
of,
is.
Yeah, loads of the Cardiff ones. Like it was, I remember I got a card through because you'd get your mail sent through to the club. So a card with like a swan on the front. And then it said inside, "The next dead swan in the marina will be Lee Trundle" on the card. And so we never had Twitter or nothing like that. So you didn't get that sort of backlash. But it's like on stuff like that, as I spoke about before, you know, these football fans who are like abusing lads on Twitter and stuff like that, they're all either young kids or, come on, let's be honest, if you're not all there, if you're then going on as a grown man and abusing fellas. It's like all the people I've met would chat normal to you. It's only the ones on Twitter who will try and give you a bit of stick. But if you look at them, it's mostly all kids.
Do you not go to Cardiff now?
No, I wouldn't go in. I just think of, even before I'd done the T-shirt, I wouldn't have went in, because there's always been that, well, Parky, you'll know the rivalry.
It is fucking chaos.
It's it, and I think
you're likely to get at least verbals.
Well, not only that, like, so say, even if you're going in, like, for a meal, or if people have had a drink, people are going to react different. And if something happened and it was an altercation, or if someone comes to you, you defend yourself, it's like, I'd be the one who's going to get in trouble for it, because it's like, people will say, "Well, why are you going there?" So I just tend to stay out. I don't even go to like any Welsh games or anything, or any like concerts and things like that. I just don't go there, because I don't want to put myself in a situation where then it can come back on me.
It is absolute hatred.
It is.
Obviously, some of the Newcastle's similar, but it is actually hatred.
How come you didn't start the playoff final?
Yeah, that's another thing. I think... the semi-final he started with Rory Fallon and Knighty. So it was me and Bayo on the bench and we won the semi-final. So he played with them two in the final. I think I come on with about like 20 minutes to go, something like that.
Is that the final you went to?
Oh, fucking it is. Oh, is it? I just got back.
As
a fan, I got back from it. I've been a Tenerife on a lad's trip. Were it a Saturday?
Do you know, I'm not sure, you know.
Anyway, I got back from Tenerife the day before and I'd obviously not eaten for 5 or 6 days. Got to the Millennium, £28 in pies I done.
Did you? To be fair though, they're about £9
yeah,
a pie,
well,
isn't
yeah. it? I only got three. Yeah, I can remember, did Bayo miss us through one-on-one?
Yeah, I think he missed a chance. I've had another one where I've went through and then put one wide of the post as well, close to the end of the game. And then it went to penalties then. But it would have been on a Saturday because the Championship one would have been the Sunday.
Did you take a pen? I can't remember.
Yeah, I took the first one.
Score?
So I took the first one, scored, yeah.
So I think all fucking missed.
Tatey and Bale missed our ones. Yeah, which was...
See, Dennis Irwin wouldn't have missed it.
Steve Irwin wouldn't have missed it.
But same again for like Kenny to get promoted to League One and then take us to the playoff final. Do you know what I mean? He's done brilliant for us, and then we just obviously missed out. And then I think Kenny spoke about it himself the next season. The expectation levels changed with the fans as well.
And so were you overachieving then when you got the first final?
I wouldn't say
final.
Overachieving because I think we did have a good squad, but I think it doesn't matter if you get to the playoff final and get beat, I think the next year the fans expect that at the least to get to the final again, don't they, or to be there or thereabouts.
Were they never, obviously we spoke to Flinney about it, were they never ask any questions about your heritage?
Yeah, so mine was Republic of Ireland that I would have went for. That was through me granddad. So that was the one that I would have went for. In Wales asked, Northern Ireland asked, but I didn't have any family there, so it was always Republic of Ireland. And I know a lot of players say that, but I didn't even get a cap for them, so I'm not making that up.
To be fair, the Welsh FA were looking for Lee Preston's family.
Preston.
Up the family tree. No, we just can't find him.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So that was the next season. You finished seventh, obviously not reaching them expectations. Are you thinking it might be time to go here? Or was it a tough one?
Do you know what? I never ever thought of like I need to leave. I loved it here.
Happy?
Yeah, very happy. Like I loved it. I loved my life off the pitch. On the field, I was still scoring goals and playing well. I'd never got to a point ever at my Swansea career to say, I want to leave, I need to go. Because I thought, you know, if I was going to achieve something, I was going to achieve it with them. So I'd never ever went in the office and said, listen, you know, I want to move. It was always, can I try and get promoted with Swansea?
I know money's not everything, but was there a case, because you came into football so late, was there a case when you got to 30, 31 where you thought, I need to try and get that big contract?
Do you know what? It was only when Bristol come in, that was the only, and you know, we sat down and talked about wages and signing on fees, bonuses. Yeah. It was only at that point when that come into it, because even at League One, you know, I was still had the
knicker sales dropped.
It was no, they were still flying out. it was so it was like I had that as an extra income. You know, my wages was really good at Swansea because they looked after us because they didn't want us to leave either. So even though, you know, I was still on an all right money at Swansea, it wasn't until Bristol come in and then you sit down with your agent and you say, look, well, I've offered this, that. And then that's when it turns into it. And I think on the other side of that as well, it was like, you know, for me coming into football at 24 and then someone paying £1 million for you, you know, £1 million is not a lot of money in football now. But me looking back to think like my career where I started non-league coming into like the lower leagues, for someone to pay £1 million for me was a nice achievement for me as well. So
big thing, yeah.
That was something that I looked at, and then you were going into the Championship as well and playing at the league above. So everything, if you look at it on paper, there was nothing bad, because everything was, you're going to get a lot more money. You're £1 million player and you're going to play in the Championship.
I thought about this earlier when you said that when you played football, you just wanted to enjoy it. It was if you were playing football with your mates. Did that change ever, the further on you went in your career? And I've got this Bristol move in my head for some reason.
Yeah, you know what? It probably did change at Bristol a little bit, because then everywhere I've been, I've probably been used to being the main striker and the main man. And when you got to Bristol, changed a little bit where I think, like, you'd, when I was played at Swansea, we played with wingers on the opposite side who would want to come inside and play into my feet, and we'd play off that. When I moved to Bristol, we had Ivan Sproul, who was a speed merchant on one wing on the right, and we had McKindo, who was on the left, and both of them wanted to get to the byline. And I'd be like setting them as a winger. I'm not getting to, they'd be gone. Yeah. I'm not getting to the box. I'm just not built that way. So they'd be there looking to get across in. I'd be still trying to sprint to get into the box. They was like that, Parky. I was never getting there. And I just think I think it all changed on that. And then, like, his man management as well, the way he was with players, Gary Johnson.
I've not heard many great things about him, to be honest.
Do you know what? I think he's one of these where, like, in the lower leagues, where, like, he started off at Yeovil, done really well with them. I think it was more of like, the fear factor, like, you got to get that hard work in. Yes. It's more of that side of it. And listen, he done well at Bristol, you know, to get them promoted, then to get to the playoff final in that first season. I don't think you can take away from what he done to get the team there. I just think his man management style and how he spoke to people and how he was, I think it didn't work with me. I think if you're going to buy me, you know what type of player I am. You know how I work. You know, if you looked at me, I'm not scoring from crosses coming in the box. And I just think the way he set his team up didn't work for the way I played. And
could you have that conversation with him? You know, like, yeah. I've scored all these goals by playing this way at Swansea. Why you know, are you playing me out here?
Probably not that conversation, because we probably butted heads early on in the thing and it got a bit of a thing.
I was going to say, are you different? And you know, Mark Wright, are you a different person now, or are you the same way you...
My personality is, if someone does that to me, I go the other way. I'll fight you back rather than...
Yeah.
And you know, probably if I look back at my career now, I probably, as a player, should have took a step back and said, listen, he's the manager, let's have a little step back, let's understand what he's saying. But I think in, like, my playing days, I could never like reason. If someone come at me, I've got to come back like that. And it was one of them where we would just argue on all the time. And I remember, like, the first part of it was we played away at Barnsley, we got beat by them. And so we're in the dressing room, and I think, like, so he was talking and he's saying, I don't give a fuck how much I've paid for anyone, you won't be in the team. And for me, I think, like, he's digging me out in front. He's, like, saying it to me. But, like, I'd rather, well, say it to me then, and let's have it out. And I think when he said that early on in it, I think he lost me a little bit.
So you can walk straight out of that Barnes dressing room, straight onto your uncle.
Yeah.
Get yourself down here. Me, you and John are having a fucking straight.
I think I'll be all right with that one. No, but I think in his management style, I don't know whether it was I'm not saying I was a bigger player, but like it happened, like Stan John come in as well, who'd had a good career at Birmingham and Eddie come. And I always felt when them players that come in like that, he'd always try and challenge them, and like, as though, like,
little man syndrome,
you're the player and I'm the boss. Where there was times where you don't need to do that, like, you don't, it doesn't cause for, or little things like, I remember we got beat one game and he made us run round the pitch at the end of the game, like, so the fans are still going out and we're running round. Do you know what I mean? Like a punishment. Yeah. So it was like, he said, we had two lads, Gavin Williams, so another lad had just come from Ipswich, and he said, get into twos. He said, you two be a pair, you've got something in common. Fucking Ipswich didn't want the pair of you. And it's like, for me, I'm thinking, well, you're going to need these lads in a couple of weeks. If you said that to me, mate, I'm gone. You've lost me straight away. You know? And I just think little things like that don't need saying. There was always things like that. But from a manager's point, what he done, you can't take away of, you know, he got the promotion from League One, got us to the playoffs in the Championship. But I think little things like that, and if you're saying, like, when people have spoke, I think as a personality, I think he liked clashing with people to try and show that he was the boss.
When you say he's lost you, are you not... In what way are you going? Are you not, I'm going to prove you wrong? I'm not interested in playing for you.
And the same again, and this is probably a trait of mine, which is wrong, where I'm not one of them players where you say it to me and I'm going to prove you wrong. As soon as you say that to me, I'm against you then.
Yeah.
And you're against me. And I think that happened in a lot of the things where there was one, I seen someone comment about the hats. Yeah. So it was a training. So I'd, right the way through the winter, I'd always, if it's training, I'd have my gloves on, I'd have my hat. I don't head the ball anyway, so my hat's not coming off. So we get to a certain day where there was, I think it was me, Scott Murray, David Noble, someone else had hats on for the training session. So we're training normal in the game, and he says something like, oh, no wonder you don't fucking score a header with the hat on. And he went, take the hats off. So then took their hats off, and I went, I'm not taking my hat off. And he went, take your hat off. I said, I wear my hat all the time. It's not coming off. So then he sent me on the other pitch to just be on my own. So then I just walked on the pitch, and then I'm still shouting stuff. The coach is going to me.
I've still got it on. I've still fucking got it on, you little twat.
Pitch, but I'm wearing my hat. How warm's your head? Your head's not warmer than mine. Yeah, so I walked over to the other side. So then we do little clashes like that, and then it come to the end of the season. Also, there was another time where I was on 19 appearances. If I got 20, I got another like big lump sum. And so I was on 19, and I'd go and play in the reserves, score an hat-trick, come back, I'd still be on the bench. So it got to the point where I went in, I said, listen, I said, I know I'm not playing because of the 20th appearance. I said, just take that out. I said, because I'm not going to win anyway. I'm just going to sit on the bench all the time. I said, take that out and just we'll go from there. Just let me play. And he went, oh, it's not about that. I said, well, you know it is. I said, because I'm sitting there and I'm doing better than what lads are doing, but they're going on before me, yeah, even as a sub, never mind starting. So then he never played me right the way for the end of that season. And end of the season, he come in and he said, listen, you know, it hasn't worked out. If you want to find another club next season, fine. And I said, yeah, Sam, no problem. So I went on holiday that year, and I think I'd done about like 4 holidays, where then usually I would come do a little bit of training in the summer, so I'd come back all right. But I thought, fuck yeah, you know, you've said that to me, mate. I'll come back and I'll do what I want. So I come back into I think my body fat was like fucking 23%, something like that. Where if you go in,
that's me looking after myself over the summer.
I've got a story for you after on body fat, by the way.
But so then after that, then they went on pre-season tour, and he made me stay on my own with a coach and just train it, just like do running every day. So they went away, and then I don't think I played any games that year, and then I ended up going out on loan.
Sounds like you had a good summer though.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, had the best one. I had two lads holidays, two family ones, but all I've done is drank and ate. And you know what it's like pre-season. So you start getting towards the end and you start going, oh, fucking hell, I'm going to have to start doing some running now.
I'm going to have to do some work.
For the full time, I didn't even think that one time. I just thought, fuck it, I'm just going to enjoy myself.
Any David Noble stories?
Oh, brilliant, Nobes. Well, it was me and Nobes were probably the main two who would be together. So we, this might have been why we didn't start as well at the start of the season.
Fucking no to do with the 20 games and the lump sum.
So me and Nobes would go. So my mates were, a couple of them were living out in Marbella in that summer. So we would go out in the summer. So it was pre-season that started. We'd had all our trips. So I think it was the Thursday, Gary Johnson went, right, yous are off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday we're back in Monday because you've had a tough few days. So then we come off, so I went and, should we go to Marbella, lad? And he went, yeah. He said, but listen, we'll have to like be like a bit more quiet in the airport, you know. And I said, yes, and we'll get the earliest flight out. And we'll go out like 6 in the morning.
Just because it's early, there's still people on it. You
know? But that was my excuse.
That was your, 6 o'clock flight, all of yours on Nobs.
So
I thought rush.
So we go in the airport. So I said, oh lad, I'm starving, you know, I'm gonna have to get a Burger King or something. So I go upstairs, so then our flight is being called. So then over the tannoy on Bristol Airport, could passengers Mr. Lee Trundle and David Noble go to gate 47? This is the last call. So I come down with my Burger King and we said keep it quiet, and that's me, come on over the tannoy.
Did it get back?
I imagine so, yeah. No one ever said anything to us, but it's them little things that, you know what I mean, that could have got back. And that was the week before the season started as well, so.
Did you fly from Bristol Airport?
Yeah.
Could have gone from anywhere else.
It's the closest, fuck them.
One on Twitter, I don't know, it could be anything, asked about going for dinner at Bradley Hall's house.
Oh, so me and Brad, when I was playing for Swansea and he was at Bristol, so we played against each other. Me and him had clashed, so we was having a bit together. So then he started saying stuff about my beard at the time. It was Liz out of Atomic Kitten, who started saying stuff to her. So then it was only that next season that I signed. So Brad went, oh, come round to us, have a bite to eat with me and my beard. And I said, yeah, sound, mate, we'll come round. So then we're sitting at the table. I went, hey, Brad, what was you saying about it when I played against you? He went, whoa, whoa. And then he started laughing. Then,
so it were a valid thing then,
yeah,
were
it? Was.
Cheers, Brad. Which happened at Leeds? You went on loan to Leeds?
No, do you know, I was like, it was the same again. I went from Bristol to Leeds, and massive club Leeds, you know what I mean? Andy Robinson was there at the time, who was my ex-teammate at Swansea. So I think it was him, and he was sorting it with the manager. I ended up going in and it didn't work out. Done okay, but not enough. But for me, like a chance to play for Leeds, a massive club, you know, even in League One, still getting like 28,000 watching at Elland Road. So to even go and say, I played, even though I only scored one goal, to go and say, have it on your CV that you've played for a club like Leeds, you know, was another achievement, with, as I say, with growing up, you know, watching the players that they've had over the years, but nothing really happened much there. And even off the pitch, I didn't really spend much time, because Leeds and Liverpool, I would go back home a lot of the time.
Do you know when you were unhappy at Bristol and when you went to Leeds, are you always thinking in the back of your mind, I've got that Swansea, I can go back to Swansea?
I always knew I was going to go back to Swansea at some point, whether it was at the end of my career. Luckily for that season, when I left, Swansea got promoted to the Championship that year.
But in the back of my mind, you are thinking, I hope they stay in League One, I've got more of a chance of a move.
No, do you know what? If I'm being honest, do you know, with the time that I had here, I become like a fan. So I supported them more. Like, so I've grew up where it's like Everton is my team, but I become more connected with Swansea. I think just because of the way the people in the city treated me when I come, how I was at the football club, I did become connected. And probably from a working point of view, that would have been the best option to think, but I did want them to get promoted because I wanted them to still do well. And like what they done after that, probably that got me my job in Swansea when I become his club ambassador. But I always knew that I was going to come back at some point and play for them again.
How old were you when you signed back there then? Under Martinez?
30... No, it wasn't under Martinez. I come under Paolo. So Roberto had gone to Wigan. So right. Paolo Sousa was the manager, and I come back on loan. So I come back more or less at a season-long loan. I'd missed the first couple of months, but come back on loan. But it was the board that brought me back. It was like the chairman and the board. It wasn't the manager, because once I got in, I knew that I wasn't his type of player. Well, we played like his Italian type of football. So I think that season, our top goal scorer was Darren Prattley, midfield with 6 goals. So if you look at how we set up, the two forwards that played probably over 20 games each, I think one of them scored 2, one scored 3. We do shooting in training, and it would be the forwards setting the midfielders to finish.
Yeah.
It was just, that's the way he played. So I knew it was like, I wasn't his signing that had come in. So I spent a lot of time on the bench under Paolo as well. But I think I had 2 starts, scored 5. I think I finished 2nd top goal scorer.
Still a good ratio, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you look
if
you look at the minutes on the pitch, because all the stats that they have, I think you had to make more than like 10 appearances or something. But for me, minutes goal ratio, I was the top of it. And I know I'd only played a small amount. A lot of players have played a lot more, so that comes into it more. But I mean, just to get like a chance where I come on sub one game against Peterborough, scored 2. And then we had a game on Tuesday night, and he put me sub and brought a lad in who didn't even travel on the Saturday.
Even though you scored two the week before?
I scored two on the Saturday. We played Tuesday. So the lad who hadn't travelled come and started, and I was still sub after scoring two. Come on that game and scored. We drew one all and then was sub again the next time. So I think that was him as a manager saying, well, he's not my player. I didn't want him. You've thrown him in on me type of thing.
Were you like furious, or were you like, I've still fucking won the lottery. I'm back at Swansea.
Yeah, I was just happy to be back. Yeah.
You're playing for a contract, though?
Yeah, and well, I'd sorted the contract out with the chairman. I'd already sorted the contract.
You just need sorted to say?
Well, I thought it was all done. Right. I thought it was all done. But as you say, Parky, it was more like, I'm home.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be back here. So the football side of it, because I was sub for Bristol anyway, so I'd rather be sub for Swansea than Bristol and live here. So it was more like I was happy to be back. Come towards the end of the season, I sorted with Hugh Jenkins at the time, contract. He said, yeah. So we sorted figures out and all that. I said, yeah. And then last training session, he said, oh, Paolo Sousa said, oh, we'll have a chat end of the session. I said, oh, yeah, okay. So waited. And then he said, oh, we'll go out for something to eat. I said, yeah, no, because I did go out for a couple of meals with him and the assistant in that season.
I thought you just meant in general now. No. You matured. I've started having a few meals now.
No. So then he went
to Burger King and an Heineken.
So then he ended up, never met me. And then when I went back for pre-season on that day, the chairman called me in and said he doesn't want to give you the contract. So that was on like the first day of pre-season. He never spoke to me all over the summer or told me. So I didn't have a chance to even try and get myself a club or anything. I'd come back first game and then I'd nothing there.
That must have been a tough one for the chairman.
Yeah. To be fair, he offered me a job in there as well. He said, listen, I'm not just leaving you. He said, if there's something here for you, if whatever you want to do, we'll keep you on. And I said, what was I, 34? I said, I can still play. I still want to have a game. So then he said, well, you know, that's there for you. So then I ended up signing for Neath who were in the Welsh Premier League then. So done like two seasons with them, and then they ended up going bust. They collapsed after two seasons.
And then image rights. They
were selling that many fucking thongs. They were fucked.
Yeah, so then that was when, after being out in the Welsh League for 2 years, that's when I went to Preston then.
How did that come about? Can you remember the original phone call?
Yeah, so I think my agent was doing deals. We had John Welsh, another Scouse player, was at Hull. Yeah,
So
he was there, so my agent was doing the deal. So my agent said to him, well, what about, I've got Lee Trundle there, have you? So then he was saying, oh, what's he like, blah, blah, blah. So then he said, well, tell him to come in and meet me, tell him to bring some kit. So I brought me kit up, so I went in and waiting for him in the office, waiting for him outside. So he calls us in, so I went in and it's him and Captain Moose there, who was a good lad. So I didn't know him at the time, so he introduces him to me. So we're chatting. Just chatting about football stuff and things like that.
And are you like trying to impress? Have you?
Well, I'd already done my own work on him a little bit, so I knew what he was. I knew like what he was about. I knew what how he works and stuff like that. Because then, if I'm going to the football club, I want to know what this fella's about as well. And at the end of the day, I've just come off the back of being in non-league for 2 years, and now I'm getting a chance to go and play for a club like Preston, which, you know, I live in Liverpool, northwest area. Preston's a big club.
At 36?
Yeah, 36. So then I'm sorted. If I can get a contract deed, you know what I mean, after being out for 2 years, brilliant. So then I come in, so he's chatting and all that, so he says, oh, we like to do things differently around here. And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, have you ever yoga? And I said, yeah, I've done yoga a few times. He said, have you ever done animal yoga? I said, no, I've never done animal yoga. So then he says, like, go and lie down on the floor. So I'm lying in the office on the floor. So lying there, so he goes, so I'm on my back. So he goes, right, you're walking through the jungle. And then he goes on, right, you're an elephant. So where's your trunk? So then I go like this with me.
any point are you thinking, what the fuck am I doing? What am I doing?
Right the way through it. I'm after the contract, though. I won't do anything. So I'm like that with me, with the thing. And he says, oh, like, so you're walking through the jungle, blah, blah. And then he said something like, he went, now sing like an elephant. So I thought, elephants don't sing. So I've like, I had my eyes closed, opened my eyes, and I thought, he's taking the piss, and then them two have started laughing. I started laughing. And then we've carried on, chatted for another about 10 minutes, and then he said, no, fine, we'll sort the deal. I said, oh, I've brought my kid here. He said, oh, don't worry about it. So I think he said to me, oh, so... So I went in and he said, oh, what's
I'll
your...
I'll pack my trunk then.
What's your...
Give me trunk to camera.
No, before I said, what's your...
pack my trunk and get back down to the circus.
He went, what shape are you in? You have to take your top off. So I'm taking my top off and standing in. So he goes, oh, about 10%, because I've been training all over the summer. I said, yeah, around now. So I put the top back on and then he went into the elephant thing then. So I think he wanted to test me on, like, am I ready to buy into stuff with him? Because, like, the stuff that he'd done there is, you know... You've seen a park. It's not your normal professional football club.
It's ridiculous.
Is it? For me, I think I understand why he does it, and I understand what he does, where he wants to test people's character. He wants to see your breaking points and how far you're to go to buy into things. So I understand on that side, but if you look at it like the training sessions where we done like morning and then you do gym and then you'd be in the afternoon. And I understand like pre-season, you'd have to do that, but every single day, and especially like me at 36, to go into that, clubs that I've been when I was younger, towards the end of sessions, the manager would always like, for the older lads, like, go on, go in, get yourself. Yeah. Where I'm at 36 coming in, and we had a game against Morecambe, a friendly, and on the Friday before, he brought this army coach in. So we're doing, like, carrying each other on stretchers, carrying jerry cans, fucking army crawling the full pitch. if you stepped out of line, 15 minutes got added on. We were out there on the afternoon for 4 hours and we had the friendly the next day. So then I'd done my, played in the friendly the next day, I'd done my ACL. Like, just, it was off nothing either. I'd fell down and as I got tackled, it wasn't a bad tackle. As I went to get back up, I just felt it pop, and I'm thinking, all of that stuff you've done in pre-season kind of helped my legs in, like, in that. So I think things like that was something obviously I wouldn't do as a manager, but I understand what he'd done. And even on, I think you had Lady on, didn't you?
Yeah.
And he took, like, with the boxing gloves, so we had to make us put the gloves on, and you'd have to spar against, like, people. So he's put me with Stucky, who's, like, big six-foot. Yeah, big 6'5", big fella. So it's me and him sparring. So I'm thinking, fuck, I'm not getting hit by him, mate. I'm going to get him first. So when the spar started off, so then I've just like raised my hand a little bit and he moved his hand. So I just went, bam, hit him properly and I've put him out. So
out for the count.
Yeah. So then thinking.
Just a nod. I'm appreciation to the manager.
Jacko's been there putting ice on him and all that. He was down for a little bit, like, yeah. But then after that, he never put me in the boxing again. So it's like he's sort of testing you. And then I wouldn't, when he'd do the boxing stuff, I wouldn't go in the boxing. I'd go and do like something else or do finishing or, but so I could see how he was testing. But little things like that where, because some people are not used to contact. And he's probably been thinking, oh, we'll have a little pat about here. But I thought, I'm not taking my chances here. You're just going to get one.
Was there any other... Did he do any of the... We've heard about inflatable weights.
Yeah,
not
yes.
Not inflatable weights, so imaginary weights.
Oh, no. So he'd do the... So he'd just come in. So say if people were sitting in the canteen, he'd just come in and get them in a chokehold and start choking them and they'd try and get out of it. Like, things like that. Or he'd take the... like a weight session, and he must have done it every single day, so he's used to it, and he'd be just flying through the weight where you'd see lads struggling with them, and he's just standing there doing them himself with the bar and things like that. So I felt everything was like, he'd do it as a test. So it was, his players would never be relaxed. He's always testing them all the time. And like things, I come back from my injury, I think it was towards the end, because I only made one appearance in the FA Cup, but then it was like, we had to do these box-to-box runs, and you had to be in on a certain time. And I said, Gaffer, even if I was 26, I'm not getting in these times. I just couldn't do that. That's not my type of run, and I can't do that. So then he'd sort of like then pick his teams off things like that as well.
I don't know if discriminate's the right word. He wouldn't compensate
for
you being 36.
And being the type of player that doesn't...
You've got to be exactly the same as a fucking 21-year-old.
But I think, say, if you're there, Parky, and it's me and you, and we're them type of players, And like he's saying, well, box, like we've got to get in box to box with a time set off that we're not going to get. But that's like putting someone who can do them box to box, putting them up front and going, right, I'm going to drop a ball into you. You've got to get hold of everyone before this defender wins it. Yeah. That lad's never going to do that. It's just you've got to stick to your strengths. And like but everyone has different strengths. And that's why you're a team, because you all bring something different. But I feel with him, he had stuff in his head where if you didn't do that, that was like where you couldn't do it on a Saturday. And I think that was only a downfall. But as a fella, I know like all the stories you hear, and he was mad. But I got on with him. I got him, and I knew what he was, why he wanted to do stuff. So as a man, I thought he was all right, although he was mad on things. But I got on well with him.
Yeah, because during the, I know you weren't there that day, but I like him. He came across well.
I liked him. that surely got to be a weakness of his.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. Categorising
every player in exactly the same way. Alan Irvine, Mike, when I was doing pre-season, I'm tailed off, but he didn't discriminate against me for that.
No.
But you know why? Because he knows what you're going to bring on a Saturday. You can do stuff what other lads can't do, innit? And that's why we all build into a team, because we've all got different strengths. So you're never going to be at the front in pre-season like I'm never going to be. But then there's stuff that you'll do on a Saturday what them other lads can't do, and that's where you've got to have a mind.
It's a shame you weren't there that day. You could have told him that day, you know, when he was sat opposite you.
The Mecca as well went quiet. I did go quiet. I did go quiet. Because I knew I couldn't win. These were asking questions, and I knew whatever I said, it just tie me up in knots and I'd be fucked.
Yeah.
So I just sat that one out.
Did you just cancel your contract at Preston?
Yeah, so it was coming to what I'd done, like, I think it was there about 8 months, and then I had a bit of an ankle injury, and it was picking, and I just thought
the intensity of his trainings and stuff is,
yeah, I just thought that was never gonna prolong your career, it's not gonna it? Do me it wouldn't do me any good, and I felt as though I was always fighting against it like that. So I had an ankle one, and me and Jacko the physio sat down, and I said, listen, Jack, I'm just going to call it a day. And he said, sound. So then I went and met Wesley in a hotel in Manchester. So we had breakfast, had a chat and that, and then said, oh, all the best and things like that. So it never ended bad for us.
Yeah.
It was still all right. But I think just at my age where I was never going to do that type of training, was not going to be good for me. I weren't playing. I wasn't enjoying it. So it was like, you know, just call it a day. And then I went and signed for my local Sunday team again, but I could use my proper name this time.
There's loads of people asked about Stoke. Did you ever nearly sign for Stoke?
No, I don't know why people ask that either.
And if it's the hashtag?
Yeah, they probably see me going to the Alton Towers or something one day and thought that I'm going to sign. But people have asked me on Twitter as well.
Tony Pulley's on the Oblivion. Are you going to sign?
Yeah, no, I never ever spoke to Stoke in my life. No, it's a mad one. Same again, isn't it? Where people just make stuff up. Yeah. Like, oh, I've seen him somewhere, and then things like that. But no, there was never talk of that.
But you obviously carried on playing.
Still playing now, aren't you?
Yeah, still. Do you know what? I love playing football. I love having a game. And I don't know whether it was because I started late in professional football, or I just think that's where I enjoy myself the most. You know, where I've played with lads and like they couldn't wait to finish. Where like I don't even think about when I'm going to finish. Like people say, when will you carry on till? And I'll just carry on until like...
You can't.
Until my legs feel. Do you know if I'm out there and I know I'm not, I don't want to just be out there and I'm shite and like people are running all over, because I'd rather not be out there then. But while I'm still scoring goals and doing well, I would still rather play on for as long as I can. And, you know, listen, I'm probably going to have to drop and drop in years, which I have been doing. Yeah. But I will still keep doing that and keep
playing. You're happy to do that as long as you're still playing.
Well, listen, as I, like, you know, you look at professional football, but most of my football growing up has been on the park and on the local field. So it's like, it's not as though I'm dropping down and thinking, oh, I'm not playing on this pitch. Like, that's why I've played on them pitches for years. I just love being out there and still playing. And not only on a Saturday, but I play with the vets on a Sunday with Eklund Etley, over 40s, over 45. So we alternate the week. So if you play for the 40s, you'll have 2 games a month. If you played for the 45s, you'll have 2. But if you can qualify for both, you can play each week. So I'll play on a Friday or a Saturday, and I'll play a Sunday with the vets as well.
Since 2016, you made 140-ish appearances, and you've got about 130 goals.
I think you can get a fucking move back into League Two, I'll be honest with you.
I think it's all that nutritionist and the food.
Now you've got yourself fucking fit at 47, you have another bash. Wesley, Graham,
Lanley Town, did you just go on
Planetly with fucking Lanley. Fucking hell.
9 hat tricks in a season.
Yeah. Funny story behind that as well. It was me mate who I played at Neath with. Me and him were up front and he got the manager's job. So my mate was the manager and he said, I spoke to him and said I'd come down. So then he said to me, like at the start of the season, he said, oh, do you think you'll be able to hold the shirt down? Because he's like the
I've
same.
Only got medium.
he's the same age as me. So then we played the first game away. We won 3-2. I scored an hat-trick. So then I sent him a message after the game and said, do you think I'll still hold that shirt down? And then he just sent me monkey faces back. But that season I went on to score 51 in 30 games for them, like 9 hat-tricks as well. So that was it. But we had, if you look at like the players that we had in that team, we probably had the best lads all around. Yeah. So it's like the team we had was very good. We went the season unbeaten as well the year after and got promoted. So the lads that we had as a team was a very good team.
I bet you must have enjoyed that trip to America, did you? With the Wrexham.
Yeah, it was a good one because especially, you know, I think with what's going on at Wrexham at the moment and the club, the way it is with them owners, you know, I think for a fan, their dream owners to have, aren't they, what they've done at the football club. And then when he said he was a tour going to play with the... But I thought it was just a veterans one at first. But when we got there, it was like there was teams from all over the world that had come together. I think the team that won it, they paid their striker, I think it was 30 grand to come and play in the tournaments with them, which I think they won $1 million at the end, so that 30 was not an out of it to pay him.
So it was a tournament?
So it was a tournament, a 7-a-side tournament.
Yeah.
So the rules was, it was 10 minutes each half, but it doesn't matter what score it is, when you get to the second half, after the 10 minutes are up, it goes into open play where if you're in front and you score the next goal, you win. But if you're behind, so say if you're 3-0 down and you come back and score 1, you carry on 2-3. It's whoever wins in that last bit of the game. So we played played Fabregas's team, Lake Como, and we were getting beat 2-0. So we went into the extra time. And in that extra time, we ended up winning 3-2. So it's a mad thing. But when you're playing it makes the games more exciting because teams don't sit back then. They try and get as many goals. So say if you're winning 6-0.
Yep.
Goes into that time. You score the next one 7-0, you have won.
Right.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So
by the way, you know, just on them stats, 130 goals, to be fair, 78 of them are against that women's team in the 7-a-side league. So, fucking scrap them bastards.
Yeah, so the thing was, we had that game, but we had the American women's team in our league as well. So she come up and done the big speech beforehand, like to Ryan Reynolds and Rob, saying, why aren't you here? We're going to smash your team, blah, blah. And then we end up beating them 12-0 in the game. So I scored 4 against them. But as a tournament on the whole, it was brilliant the way they set it up and everything. And even like some of the stars that you had, like American basketball players, NFL players. And I think it'll get even bigger this year.
Are they doing it again?
Yeah, they do it every single year.
Are you going back?
Swansea are talking about putting a team in.
Oh.
So could be a move on the cards.
get the agent back on the
card. Yeah, but like they had loads of stars who come over. And I think I seen Nani's put a team in this year, Man United. He's got Balotelli playing for him as well.
Is it just can you be fire like a crack thing as well? So
it's in fire it merch stand up.
Yeah,
outside.
I think you've got to pay to enter the competition. And then there's £1 million prize money at the end if you win it. So it's I think Wrexham got invited because how big they are in America. Because we went into the tournaments and it was like we played on the main pitch every single time because they had to say who they were there supporting, like on a survey when they bought the tickets. And I think out of 20,000 over the weekend, I think it was like 14,000 said they were supporting Wrexham. So every game we played, it was like the stadiums, the little stadiums were full. So it was good on that side. And I think the more this tournament goes, the bigger it'll get. Because if you can win $1 million for, like, what is it? Like a tournament over 4 days. You know, you're going to get some players putting, and you don't have to be, you can be any age. Where I said it was I thought it was a veterans one. Like West Ham brought like Anton Ferdinand, Marlon Harewood. They had like all big hitters who had been in the Premier League with them, but they were all older players. I think they only had one young lad, and they didn't get through the group stage. So it's the tournament will get bigger.
It's worth winning though, isn't it?
Oh, £1 million,
you can think about it. I'll still be sub.
We'll get Matty on the right wing. Whizzing about, and it will piss it.
Do you know what on about earlier, your style of play and you like to get your arse in and this and that. Is there any players that you used to love playing against and that you used to hate playing against?
Not love play. I wouldn't say there's any love. I can't remember someone who would say, oh, I love coming up against him. There was, I think if you look at over the years I played, mine would have been like in like League One and Two where I come up against them a lot. Probably say play called Andy Crosby, who used to play for Scunthorpe.
Yeah, he just got potted from Port Vale.
Yeah, that's right. So he was always someone who I found like tough. He was aggressive and he was someone who I would find a good battle against. So when I come up against him, he was probably someone who I would probably say would be the hardest if you're picking on someone that you're playing, you know, regular.
But you'd still try and take the piss out of him.
No, I'd still do well against them. Though. I'd still score. I always scored against Scunthorpe. I'd still do well against them. But he was someone who I found it as a test playing against him.
Favorite game for Swansea?
Do you know what? Probably it was like that. The final with the T-shirt was probably would be up there because, like, for me at that time, that felt like an FA Cup final because I was never going to get to play in the FA Cup final. So at that time, I felt that was like my biggest final. So that would be my favourite. Or there was one against Southend at their place when Freddie Eastwood was playing. Me and Freddie Eastwood were top of the goal scoring charts at the time. And I think there was no champion. It was an international break, so there was no championship football. So that was like the big game of the day. And I think it was like a televised one where they'd done a like featured length of the highlights on like the ITV show. And I'd done really well. And that was one of them games where everything come off.
Is that the year you got promoted?
Yeah.
How many did you get that year?
I think 26, I think it was.
I think I got 26.
Yeah, you were. No, but then you were always up there, Parky, with them. No, you was up there on the... It was always me and, you know, when I'd... Because you're just looking the paper. Just looking. You're looking the paper then, wouldn't you? It'd be on a Sunday, you'd look in the paper. And it would always be us at the top of the thing, yeah.
You're still doing stuff at Swansea now?
Yeah, right. So still club ambassador there. Yeah. So I'll be out and about. So that's a full-time job that I've got there.
Still plugging that merch?
Yeah, no, the merch is gone. The merch left when I went to Bristol, it was gone.
You can't be taking thongs into schools, can you? Give that to your mum.
Dispatch case. I'm just imagining you want a stall in corner.
Yeah, so
boxes.
I'll sweat you these pants for a Kit Kat.
Yeah, so I'll be going. I'll go into the schools and that of a daytime or like different charity events, different things like that. And then on a match day, I'll do the lounges.
Yeah.
So I'll be upstairs on a match day, do a little bit of talking beforehand, and then when the players need appearances, I'll go round and do that with them. Then so I'll take the players to the appearances and things like that. But when I come, it was at the end of when I'd finished at Preston. So the chairman and the board, the owners invited me up to watch a game and even in the Premier League it was, and then said, what are you going to do next year? And I said, oh, I'm not sure. I said, I've just come off the back of the injury. Don't know whether I'll try and play again. And they said, well, why don't you come back here and work? And I said, doing what? And he went, oh, we'll think of something.
To be fair, that's incredible to say you only actually played 5 years.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, people think, like, you look at Swansea, and when I say it, they probably think I've had like 10 years plus, where I have over the full working for the club and everything. But playing seasons, it was four together, and then the half bit when I come back on loan.
I think, as well, with a club going on to do so well, getting the Premier League, and it's kind of that last bit of era where you've done so well and the players being relatable to the fans and the club, and you still feel like it was that kind of 2000s era that players, I think, still felt relatable to the fans and still in touch.
Yeah, and I think that was a thing where it was, so I was a gap with between the players and especially if I'd go, because, you know, if you think of the Premier League now, they're coming from all different countries, all different you know, religions and stuff like that, them going out to appearances, I was always like the gap in between where I could go in and I'd be talking to the fans, and so they wouldn't feel left on their own as well. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I helped in that.
Bridge.
And as you say, with the Premier League, the players was going away from, you wouldn't see them in Wine Street on a Monday and Wednesday drinking games. So yeah. I think it was like, it helped the club and myself as well. So the job like come up and it was good for all of us.
Yeah, I can't see that. What was that cunt who did the lion thing?
Gomez.
Gomez. I can't see him in fucking Weatherspoon Monday afternoon. Bottle of schnapp. have a bash on that angle, Rangel.
And if you're all right with Wesley, though, doing your goal. Yeah.
By the way, we better wrap this up. We're bowling in 20 minutes.
Oh, hi.
No, listen, I just want to say a thank you to Super Bowl UK as well. They helped me a lot in my appearances and stuff. And so big thank you. They're in Swansea, but they're all over the country as well. So keep your eye out for them.
You didn't have to put your shoes on now, you know.
Just let you know, after six pints, there's more fucking turkeys. By the way, I am on fire after six pints. Turkeys, isn't it?
That's a fuck yeah, yeah.
Is that a strike?
Three strikes
to turkey. Yeah. You don't actually get one, but on the screen there's a fucking turkey comes.
But I'm like Neil Warnock now. I bring my own ball and my shoes. I'm in there all the time. It's the kids' day out.
Yeah, cheers.
Top man, mate.
Thank you, boys. Thanks for having me.
Stick tonight.
Lee Trundle, enjoy it.
Yes,
very much.
Good lad, isn't
he? Yeah,
great. I bet you that was a good Swansea team to play for. From what he was saying, you know, more the social side than the
fucking very good.
Even though it was miles away. He's I bet it was a good
proper lad in early days, wasn't he? Before he
enjoyed the crack, didn't
yeah.
He?
Yeah,
before getting professional.
But I tell you what, I did like the looking at the scoreboard, just make a mental note of
the money.
The best bit
to send to
Sky.
Not Tubes. What was the other one?
Fenners.
Ah, that's him. Fenners, to send to Rocket. Sky thing anyway.
Yeah,
but just he got half lucky, didn't he? Because he was still going out a lot, even when he was at Wrexham and that.
Mm-hmm.
What was it Mark Wright said about him? Fat, lazy, get.
Just lazy, gambled. Horrible bastard.
Horrible, I forgot horrible.
That horrible's the worst bit there, aren't
you? Yeah, comfortably.
Yeah.
But horrible.
Even like still playing on a Sunday with your pals.
I know. What was his ringer? Lee somebody, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was still Lee, wasn't it?
Lee Fellows or
Lee
something.
Lee Bumble.
Lee Preston.
Lee Preston.
Yeah. Did you ever play Sunday League?
I played one game for my local working men's club. It was a Wednesday night. The season had just finished. And I says, oh, go on, I'll come on a sub if you need me. They're losing 2-0. Came on, scored two, and got reported. And then ended up getting the points docked, yeah. I don't think I got... I didn't get a...
Who were you playing for at the time?
Probably Preston.
Fucking hell, I'm not surprised you got some reported.
Well, if I had not been playing for Preston, they'd probably still recognised it were me.
So they actually got points deducted?
Oh, aye.
Bloody hell.
But the moral of the story is I scored two.
Oh,
you know what I mean? If I'd have been on another 5 minutes, I think I'd have took ball home. I took ball up to the club under my arm. No, that never even crossed my mind, playing with your mates still.
Would it ever cross your mind doing a TikTok dancing video?
Fuck off.
Because we spoke about it on Friday Club.
The belly's the one, isn't it? The belly's a big old
it's
piece
just
of
a
kit.
Lot of questions.
Yeah.
Because the amount of stick, obviously you get likened to the dad out of...
The family.
The family. But you were the original.
They're just enjoying life. I think they took a lot of inspiration.
Who the fuck wants to dance on TikTok? Is the words that you've used.
So just to add some context, you found a video with John dancing on TikTok.
Yep. Dancing well, I will give you that. Moving well. Little arse, oh, one. No.
Is there a bum shake?
My little arse.
It's not little, there's nothing
little
about it.
Obviously, you know, it's untrue. It's but obviously, it is true because you'll see it. But yeah, obviously, kids made it up, didn't they? So I had to do a little bit.
I think after the, if you want to follow
the cheeky little smile that I like.
Yeah, and it was something like this.
We don't want to follow. I don't want to follow.
Katie and John couple goals is the the TikTok.
I don't have to start making new content now. This is going to get loads of followers.
I don't even know who's in charge of it. Which one of the kids is in charge of it? The fuck knows.
Couple goals. Funny.
Some skills he used to do were outrageous, weren't they?
let's get a couple goals. Let's get back talking about.
So yeah, if you're just listening, if you want to jump over to the video version, you'll be able to see that video of John dancing.
Well, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Friday Club as well. If you haven't listened to any, we cover a lot of important,
groundbreaking topics.
Yes.
A lot of sexy time this week. Mm.
Bit too much for you, Matty, or?
Never
a sexual
enough.
Kind of guy, are you?
Not a sexual kind of guy.
They've just got what's the guy off American Pie was walloping the pie. People are just thinking, Matty's like it. What do they call him? You know what I mean?
It's not Sherman, is it?
No.
He does look like Sherman, actually.
Who's the guy who's walloping the pie and his dad comes in?
What's his name? I've just got Will from in between his name? Head.
No.
What is his name?
You know what I mean? Dark hair. Matt is not
it's
like
him. Fannibal Lamange, Matt. You know the ones in the tubs? Peel off.
Jelly would be a good one, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, for every Jelly Friday.
Yes, Friday. Club, if you get involved if you haven't already had a listen. We're not been covering much football, let's be honest. No.
I think it's refreshing, though. I don't know how we feel about
it. Just general chat about life, innit?
Yeah. I'm getting a bit worried as we go on how much of our personal lives or my personal life is going to be revealed.
Oh, don't worry. I've got a lot of his personal life to reveal, don't you?
That's what I'm worried about.
Because it's just going to get... going to keep digging and digging. There's plenty of skeletons in them cupboards.
There's more skeletons in his cupboard than there were off of the Titanic.
Funny bones over there.
The Titanic's not had as many bones as that, fuck you.
Right, see you next week.
Once again, huge thanks to everybody who signed up to a Patreon. If you're not already, it'd be great if you could get involved supporting the podcast.
Well, 130, 140 episodes.
Yeah.
Some proper big names on it as well.
Get on, get on the couch.
Twice a month for an extra two episodes.
Screen share.
Yeah.
Fuck that night telly off.
That's
a bit aggressive, that one, huh?
It was too aggressive, sorry. I think. So, yeah, please sign up to Patreon. Don't enter with your arm up your back. Like,
no, I just meant, like, get it on the telly.
Yeah.
Easy watch.
And you really don't have to follow that TikTok thing because it's not active.
Katie John, couple goals.
Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.